Welcome to Comics.
Episode 212. This week, we talk about Avengers and X-Men, Axis. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast members.
So you guys, I've been playing this game called Cities Skylines. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's basically SimCity, but redone and really fun and cool. So I bought a new chunk of land. So in this one, you're given like one chunk of land, and then as your city grows, you can buy more adjacent land and expand your city. So I bought a chunk of land that was basically ocean and an island, right? And I bought it because this island was really, really rich in oil. So I built a ton of industry there, and I zoned it for oil, and I was like, okay, build oil. And so it just built a ton of like oil wells, and I was like, that's great. And I named the island Drill Well Island because you can name districts. But I only had like one subway going there, and the oil wells weren't able to staff enough people. There weren't enough people willing to take the subway all the way out to this island from their work instead of just working at an office that I'd built next door. So I ended up building high rises, like high density residential right next to the oil wells, right? And people were like, great, I'll move right here and I'll walk to work. This is wonderful. So they buy these high rises right next to the oil fields, except because they live right next to oil fields, they start to get really, really sick. So I build more and more like medical clinics and they keep getting sick. And then like it goes from sick to like glowing red sick, and then it goes to death. And so suddenly I have high rises full of dead people, right? So I build a crematorium. The problem is that because there's high rises and they're directly adjacent to the oil wells, and I put them as far away from the oil wells as I can, but it's on the edge of an island, you see. So they're all dying, and I built this crematorium, but they were dying at such a fast rate that the crematorium couldn't keep up. And it's not like they could be shipped off the island, like to the crematoriums that I have on the mainland, because I don't have a dock. I only have a cargo dock attached to like haul the oil away. That's all I have attached. So I have the crematorium, but it's not keeping up. So I build a cemetery, and that cemetery fills like instantly. So I build a second cemetery, and then a third, and then a fourth. And by this point, everybody living on the island is dead, and the residential buildings have become abandoned. So I'm like, fuck. So I go to like redo the oil, except then I realize all of the oil buildings are now abandoned because the oil has been tapped dry and there's no more oil underneath the island anymore. So I destroy and dezone the whole island, and I put a road that goes around, that goes from the subway stop to the cemeteries and goes around the cemeteries. And then on the edge of the island, I have built commercial, like light commercial, like restaurants. And I renamed it Drillwell. It was Drillwell Island. I renamed it Drillwell Memorial Island to memorialize all the people who died there for my city's coffers. So now people take the subway out there. They go see the cemetery. They have a nice dinner, and then they take the subway home.
That is really dark.
And I would feel worse, except my city went from having like 200,000 in the bank to like 1.8 million. Like, the oil sold really, really awesome, but a lot of people died for it. So I'm really into this game for letting that happen. Like, now I know how oil barons feel. Thank you, game. Well, do you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Sure.
Yes.
All right.
Quizzes.
This week's comic.
This week, we read Avengers vs. X-Men Axis, collecting issues 1 to 9 by Rick Remender, with art by Lionel Francis Yu and a bunch of other people here and there. And this comic was... I don't... Normally I try and like give like a two-sentence synopsis, about what the comic was, but it's hard. Basically, Red Skull turned into a giant hate monster, and they thought they blew him up, but instead he inverted the axis of good and evil on which everybody battling him stood, or was on the island at the time. And then, so basically all the Avengers and X-Men that were there turned evil, and all the villains turned good. And then by the end of the comic, they tried to undo that. But, yeah, that leaves out a whole lot. this comic is insane.
Yeah, this comic is like, even before everyone's inverted, it seems like the whole premise is everyone's just like, meh, at each other. Like, everyone's real mad.
Yeah. I mean, hate monster Red Skull with the imprisoned soul but psychic powers of Charles Xavier after secretly stealing the files of Tony Stark to build adamantium sentinels. Like, what the fuck? This is an event comic, and you know it.
You know what's funny? I actually, I think I would have been really lost, except my boyfriend's roommate came over, or like he was talking to me, and he walks up and he like says, you know, I've been reading a lot more X-Men and I wish I haven't. And then he goes on to tell me all about how Scott becomes possessed by the Phoenix entity and then kills Charles Xavier, and then everyone's real mad. And like, it actually, like, his dislike of that storyline laid out what was happening here really well.
You want to give us some of that backstory? What's relevant anyway?
So, apparently, the Phoenix possessed a bunch of people, and all I really know is that Scott killed Charles Xavier, and everyone else was forgiven, but they're really, really upset at Scott, except Kitty Pryde, who seems kind of okay with him. And he's like, guys, I didn't do it, and they're like, fuck you, Scott. I'm just, like, repeating the summary I got. And then Magneto... terrible. And then Magneto got really mad because Red Skull was having another Holocaust, but with mutants, maybe? Something?
Yeah, that seems like what was going on.
So everyone was, like, pre-angry.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, insane stuff in this comic, but as I was reading it, I was like, what the fuck has been happening in the Marvel Universe? Like, because I'm reading stuff like Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel and Thor, and that really doesn't have much to do with these things. Like, the Lady Thor, it doesn't really have much to do with this stuff. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, what the fuck? Havoc and Wasp have a future baby that got erased? Like, what? This is, like, there's times when you go, ah, comics, and then you go, what the fuck, comics? And this is definitely on the, what the hell has been happening over here, Marvel? Like, I was thinking I was in an alternate reality, like, universe for some of this, but no, not at all.
Yeah, what seemed really strange to me, or maybe not strange, like, I think the idea of having them, like, flip in alignment was kind of neat, although fairly predictable in outcome, but like the fact that they were all ready to just like murder the fuck out of each other beforehand.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know. It was, it felt very drama for drama's sake. Like, people were mad just to be mad, it seemed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like, Havoc had some good lines. He's like, that's not unity, Steve. That's tyranny. I thought you, of all people, would know the difference. What? Also, why is Steve Rogers old? Like, what? And when did Falcon become Captain America? I've been so out of touch with the Avengers that I feel like Hawkeye is my boy because he's the same. And well, at least I have a handle on Hawkeye.
You didn't hear about Falcon? Because, so okay, this is a bit tangential, but the reason I know about this is I guess a lot of people are really mad about Lady Thor. And then, like, other people are mad that they're more mad about it than they're mad about Black Captain America. And I guess, everyone said, oh, it was really clear that Falcon was kind of going to become the next one, or it made sense. So I did know about that. I only knew about it from, like, that quote-unquote controversy.
I mean, they know that the very first Captain America was a black guy, right? Like, they retconned it, and, like, Steve Rogers was, like, the Captain America, but they retconned that there was an experimental Captain America before Steve, and he was black.
Yeah. Right,
they, like, tested the serum on somebody else first.
So those people know that, right?
No, they don't. they really don't.
Yeah.
Because it's the same people that complained when Miles Morales was Spider-Man, because there's going to be, like, a black Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize that it was the Ultimate Spider-Man, and then, you know, they just complain without knowing the full story.
Pretty much. Yeah, they get they're the people who get the news bites from, like, Fox News and don't actually, or, like, just read an article in the popular parts of the internet and don't actually, like, go to a comic site. Yeah. So I had no idea that this stuff was happening. And so coming into this, I was like, wait, are we in an alternate universe? No, we're not. What the fuck?
So as far as I understand it, so there was the AVX Avengers versus X-Men storyline, which Jen mentioned, where Cyclops killed Professor Xavier. And so out of that storyline, a bunch of other things happened as happens in comics.
Yes.
So one of the things that came out of that was a team called the Uncanny Avengers, which was supposed to be a mix of X-Men and Avengers, and it had, like, Havoc was the leader.
It was the Unity Squad, right?
Right. But the title of the book was Uncanny Avengers, and it had, like, Havoc and Rogue and Wasp, Thor, those people and some others. And so one of the first missions the first story arc was about Red Skull getting Professor Xavier's brain. And so I don't know how Steve Rogers got old. I don't remember that. A lot of this stuff happened right after I stopped getting comics on the regular. So I don't know how he got old.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things.
I don't know where his son came from.
Oh yeah, the son. Yeah. I just was like, okay, this is an event comic, and I'm along for the ride. But you know what? Like this, it's hard to talk about this comic a little bit because this is like 85% of what happens in this comic is punching and fighting in general. And so, like, you can talk about how the action's drawn really well, and there's flow to the action, and it looks really cool, and you're like, you turn the page, and it's like, whoa, look at this badass thing. Except, it's super an event comic, because what I was more interested to read were the side stuff. When this was happening, I probably would have picked up the Carnage, the Carnage Axis, like, tie-in, because that would be super fun to read. Because Cassidy is such a fucking hick.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
And to see him try and be good, oh my god.
I would watch a team up of him and Deadpool, because I really like dirty hippie Deadpool. That was amazing.
I don't know. I would like to see a Spider-Man Carnage one, and Spider-Man just the entire time being completely confounded by the situation he's put in.
I would read that too.
You know, and so, like, there were a lot of, like, good, probably spin-offs to this, but this one alone, it's like, okay, a lot of punching, a lot of overwrought melodrama that seems to come from nowhere that I'm sure makes sense if you read any of the tie-in stuff. Like, if you were reading X-Men and getting this, or reading Avengers and getting this, I'm sure, like, you would get a way cooler experience of the event. What? That said, I do appreciate the way that Marvel, like, just says, the event is happening here. And you don't have to pick it up, but it'd be a good idea to. And you don't have to pick up the tie-ins, but there might be fun. As opposed to the way that DC does it, like, with War of Light, where you, like, have to pick up, or, like, Blackest Night, you have to pick up Blackest Night, Green Lantern Corps, Green Lantern, and a fourth book. Like, you have to pick up four different books to get the whole event. So I do appreciate that they do that, but it's like, I kind of would be more interested in the side books. I really, really think I would.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is, like, we're just told that this... We're not even told that these things happen. We're just told the reactions based on them. So when people say, it's so beautiful that the Avengers and X-Men worked together to do something, you're kind of like, well, why? You know, why do I care? Because we're not told the background and we're not shown why it's relevant.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, this comic was, like, the epitome of current day Cape comics to me. It felt very, I don't know. I feel like staged is the wrong word because, of course, they're all scripted, right? It's someone yeah. writing it. But, like, it just felt like someone... It was like Mad Libs for plot points, you know? Like, insert betrayal here. Insert, like, unreasonable amount of anger here. Insert, like, touching moment here. And, like, someone just drew those out of a hat and then, like, put them in randomly.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Like, I rolled my eyes... when Hulk turned into Luke?
Nah, dude, his name is Clue.
Clue, that's Clue. Right.
Because he's backwards Hulk.
Yeah. And he's Hulk's Clue. Hulk. It's like, what are you...
You know what that totally reminded me of? Have you guys seen that video on YouTube by Max Landis where he talks about the death and return of Superman?
Yes.
And so he's good. Describing how he imagined DC came up with Doomsday. And they were like, they just pulled something out of their ass and they were like, oh, look, it's the Hulk. This is like, I imagine the same thing happening over at Marvel where they were like, well, let's make a more evil Hulk and just pull something out of our asses. And they're like, oh, it's Doomsday. Because that's basically what Clue is. He's Doomsday.
Except when he clues out instead of Hulk's out.
He clues out.
He says, you wouldn't like me when I'm sad. And I was like, oh, come on, that's pathetic. Like, it's like a pity party Hulk. Except he's like, I don't get how turning sad makes him young, like, stronger. It made no sense. It was just like, we need, like, Hulk was there, so we gotta make Hulk out. Let's draw something crazy and pull some shit out of her ass. You're exactly right. I'm not going to say, like, it's Doomsday, but it's definitely, like, let's just make him punch even harder and make him black and red and give him a mohawk.
Well, see, it's like they had, there's, like, other versions of the Hulk, right? There's, like, the gray Hulk. This yeah. is, like, the grayer Hulk.
Or the redder Hulk. It's the red and gray Hulk.
Well, there is a red Hulk, but that's a different person.
Yeah, because the red Hulks are, like, super angry, right? Or no, violent? I don't know.
Well, the red Hulk is Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
He's not, like, super angry. He's just Thunderbolt Ross yeah. as Hulk. Because he kept all his faculties.
Yeah, it's just... I feel like sad's the wrong adjective. He did not display any sadness. He was just, like... I don't know. He was a twat.
Yeah, part of me was thinking when he says, you wouldn't like me when I'm sad, and he turns black and red, he would just, like, stomp over to the corner and pout.
Yeah.
Emo Hulk. He's yes. emo goth Hulk.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that's what it would be, but that doesn't move the plot. Like, you need somebody angry or strong. And then after they have him, after they give him that scene where he says, you wouldn't like me when I'm sad, and he flies out of the building, later you get a panel of him, like, tearing the shit up in Phoenix or Arizona, somebody doesn't care about. Like, nobody cares what happens in Phoenix. And then he comes back, like, 4 issues later to sit at a table. It just seemed so tangential, but in a big event like this, you have to show everybody who mattered to the story. You have to make sure that the story is brought through them. So, if Hulk was on the island, you need Axis Hulk. Yeah.
Their whole axis of evil naming thing. Like, I know why they did it, but it was very goofy.
Oh, the...
like the video at the end.
Yeah, when the villains were good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, okay, that... When I read those pages, I was super, super pissed. I was like, okay, motherfuckers. You just completely destroyed, like, all of Manhattan. A 1.5-minute YouTube video is not going to make me put my trust back in superheroes. Like they said, it was selfless. They did it. Otherwise, people would never have faith in us again. And I'm like, I'm not having faith in you again anyway. Fuck all of this. I'm moving to fucking, like, Peru, where there's not a goddamn superhero a continent.
Well, the thing is, like, I think the people of this, of Earth 616, are just like, this is just the normal kind of thing. Because it happened, how many, dude, like in the last 10 years, how many times has Manhattan been just like completely fucked by the superheroes, right?
Yeah.
There's like Civil War and the Secret Invasion and World War Hulk and this thing and fucking AVX and there's all kinds of, just name a crossover and Manhattan was destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people even live there anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Get the fuck out. Move to Peru. Move to fucking South Africa. They speak English there. Move to the middle or, what's the city on the western side of Australia? Because I imagine Sydney probably has a superhero, but that other guy on the western side of Australia? Fuck all. He doesn't have one. Move to Sri Lanka. Get the fuck out. Go to the middle of fuck all nowhere. Because, you know what? If the X-Men want to start a mutant paradise in fucking Manhattan, let them. Because even if they win, even if they get beat, it's going to be 2 months before Manhattan looks like the Stone Age again. So who the fuck cares?
You should move to Latveria.
No. Doom not after this shit.
Nah, Doom will protect you.
Doom couldn't protect them from fucking Scarlet Witch.
I felt like you protected them. Like...
She tore up, like, half of the city.
Well, she...
Didn't she?
She got the town square.
Okay.
I think Doom can rebuild it. Doom will literally throw himself in front of villagers. And I suspect he would have done that, although less sad-like, if he wasn't flipped.
Yeah. He's, of all the people in this, I mean, I love egotistical evil Doom. I would have loved to have seen Doom, like, turn Latveria into a fucking utopia. Because you know he's smart enough and he could do it. The only thing that gets in his way is his fucking ego.
It's
so awesome to see that.
It's supposed to be, like, a really good place to live in the comic, right? Like, supposedly, he's a fair ruler. I think, you know, Doom and Deadpool, I think, were, like, kind of the two most interesting characters in this because they didn't change.
Yeah. How did Deadpool not change? Is it just because he was crazy?
Like, yeah, I mean...
His mind is immune to telepathy because he's fucking nutso?
I think he's true neutral.
Yeah.
Well, oh no, he's chaotic. He's chaotic, chaotic. There's no neutral in there.
No. He was actually one of my favorite scenes in this. When he gets Apocalypse to change... At the very end, to see the light and change into, like, you need to go help these people. And reminds him of Boy Apocalypse, whatever the fuck that was. That's another thing, I had no idea. I was just like, alright, we're gonna roll with the punches. I don't know who this Boy Apocalypse is, but sure.
We've seen him.
Have we?
Yeah, he like, oh, what is it? He was younger, and it was when we read X-Men and Quentin Quire was, like, much younger and being, like, a total douche.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we saw him there. He was, like, bullied, I think.
Yeah, you're totally right. Okay. But when he's big and angry and Deadpool is convincing him, like, Deadpool's torn-off head is convincing Apocalypse to be chill again, my favorite is when Apocalypse does side with him and then goes and bashes through the wall. Apocalypse has Deadpool's head, has Headpool, like, in a bundle of rope attached to his hip. Like, he charges into a building with Headpool, like, strapped onto the side so he doesn't lose his conscience.
Did you just say Headpool?
Yeah, Headpool. I'm calling him Headpool because it's just a head.
Well, there's another version of Deadpool who is just a head. He's from the zombie Marvel universe who is referred to as Headpool, and he's just a head.
Oh, okay. So there is a canon Headpool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, balls. I thought it was Woody.
He's infected by the zombie virus. And Deadpool, regular Deadpool, has to, like, stop him from spreading the virus. And then in the comic book, in the series they had a while ago called Deadpool Corps, he was part of the Deadpool Corps.
Deadpool comics are the most comics of comics.
So the Deadpool Corps was made up of Deadpool, Headpool, Lady Deadpool, Kidpool, and Dogpool. I really like the... So, Kidpool has a... You know how Deadpool has, like, a pair of swords?
Yeah.
Kidpool had these, what are basically lightsabers, but they called them... They called them, like, legally distinct light swords or something like that. Or energy swords, but they were clearly lightsabers. I mean, it was pretty funny.
Oh, that's good shit. Yeah, I... When Deadpool showed up, I was really, really worried that he would, like, steal the show. And he was very, very interesting, but he didn't, like, walk away with it the way he does sometimes. It was... He was done really, really well in this comic.
Yeah.
As, like, just the neutral voice of reason for... No reason that he felt like turning hippie like a week ago, so he turned hippie. And I like that he was super, super concerned that they would think that he came with the villains. That, like, no, I'm not really a villain, huh? No. I'm with you heroes. I just, like, showed up late to the party, and they happened to come with me, you know? And they're like, where the fuck are you dragging me? Him and Tony had a good scene, too. That was fun. Although I think aside from Apocalypse and Deadpool Head, my favorite scene was Loki picking up Mjolnir on the moon.
Yes.
That was badass. He looked so cool in that armor.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool scene.
What I really liked, it was slightly unclear whether he dropped the hammer because everyone was reverted or because he was starting to, like, douche it up.
Because he started to get, like, I am the this and that. Like, he got all boastful, and then he happened to drop it when maybe he got reverted. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Because when he's like, oh, I gotta save everyone, that was so cool. And then he kind of just... I don't even feel like that was super Loki of him. I think it was more... I don't know. And that was actually something that got me about the writing. Like, sometimes it seemed like people... got a little out of character with their, like, crazy angry. Because
yeah.
I don't see Loki just standing there with the hammer, like, yelling about how lame Thor is and being like, hearty har har. He's a bit smoother than that in most of the comics I've read him in.
Yeah, like, he's way smoother when he comes in as the cavalry and tries to, like, fight the Sentinels. Like, when it's him, Magneto, and Doom standing there, like, having a pissing match, and the one Sentinel comes over and stomps him, and Doom's like, okay, you're the god of trickery, I know that didn't just kill you. And he, like, pops out of the Sentinel's eye. Like, he had some smooth lines there. Like, it was a lot more interesting when he was there. You're right. There's a higher standard.
Yeah. I expect him to be... Oh, go on, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I expect him to be quippy. Like, I could see him mocking Thor. That's expected.
Yeah.
But to just, like, kind of go crazy over it? Not him.
Yeah, this is what I was trying to say up top. It's hard to, like, get into anything in this other than that scene was really cool. This scene was really that. Like, Loki looked badass. That was neat. This part was funny. There's no, like, character to get into. I mean, you can kind of a little bit, like, like with Falcon, he keeps after he doesn't mention it once before, but after he's inverted, he mentions freedom a lot and how he's free to think about himself. And he always says it to Steve because he knows it jabs Steve. And he also, like, he doesn't turn evil necessarily because the Axis doesn't switch just good and evil. It inverts their personality. So Falcon goes from being entirely selfless to being entirely selfish.
Well, he becomes like a sociopath, right?
Yeah.
He just goes and does whatever suits him best and fuck all everybody else. And likewise, like Havoc, instead of Havoc in the beginning, is a super dedicated, loving husband. Or, I don't know if they're married, but super dedicated, loving partner for Wasp, and then that gets inverted. Not, like, his driving force, like, you know, the, what do we fight for? Family and, like, the Pandaren way. He's a Pandaren, basically. Like, Havoc fights for his family, for the future that he wants. he fights for the future for his family. And when he gets inverted, he is willing to suck his wife dry of Pym particles and then use her as a human shield. Like, that gets inverted for Havok. And so for him, fuck all the future. It's about what will do me right now. He's in the moment. So it's, you can get into a little bit of character by going through these guys and saying, and like figuring out exactly what personal, like personality trait got inverted to switch them on the axis. But even then, there's no like digging in. Like, Havok goes from good father to bad wife, like, or bad husband. Nobody got inverted in the gender scale. That would have been interesting, though. It was pretty fun seeing Mystique fighter kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we've seen before, except, you know, they were inverted. Or re-inverted? Yeah. Reverted? I don't know. Reverted doesn't sound like the right... It doesn't sound like it's the opposite of inverted.
They were verted.
Yeah, they got verted.
Unverted? Deverted? Extroverted? No, that's different.
So, out of, like, the inverted bunch, do you guys have a favorite?
Of the hero side or the villain side, or just in general?
Either.
Oh, I love Carnage. I love that he's, like... I love that he's still the hick, but he's the... Like, he's an inverted hick. Like, what should be cool for Carnage is fucking monster trucks and guns and camo. That's what he should think is awesome. But when he has this heroic moment, he asks for his statue to be covered in rhinestones. Like, it's still ghetto. He's not like, I want a fine bronze statue done tastefully in the Art Deco style. Like, no. He's like, I want this motherfucker covered in rhinestones. Like,
he's still a hick. No, the best part is Freebird playing 24 hours a day.
Yes!
So, actually, did you guys catch why he's not dead? Because he's not dead in the end, right?
I don't know. I thought he was. Or is he not?
Well, he's the one talking in the video about how they, like, used Enchantress to turn everybody in.
Well, they recorded the video before they went back into the fight.
Okay, so he is gone at that point.
Yeah, they recorded the video before they went in. Because they knew that if they won, and it worked, they would go back to being villains. And the good guys would go back to being good guys, but nobody would believe, like, at that point, then they would all be Scott Summers. The reason they all hate Scott Summers, everybody would hate them, you know? So, like, they needed to do something to acquit all of the heroes of all the things that they've just done. So they did the video. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, a minute and a half video to undo the destruction of fucking New York City? No. No. Okay, I'm not trusting any of these fuckers for, like, a decade. I don't care. Because what's it going to take? It's going to take a little bit of mind control of Scarlet Witch, and then reality is undone. Get the fuck out of here, Scarlet Witch. Go live on the moon. Like, seriously, if I'm... The senator of the... If I'm a senator in the United States of Earth 616, I am going to try and push a bill through that makes metahumans illegal. Like, I don't care how good you are, there's mind control motherfuckers out there, and you need to go. I don't know. I would not put up with any of this shit. I just would not be able to. Like, I know they tried to do the registration act and all of that, but I go one step further. Just get them the fuck out.
Well, that's the thing in Watchmen, right? Where they ban vigilantes.
Yep.
I think that would make you a villain in the standard narrative.
Don't care. I'll be that villain. Because I'll be protecting people. I will be doing what my constituency wants to be kept safe from Scarlet Witch turning everything into a Nazi heaven. I feel like I'd be doing okay. But I mean, that's the other thing too, is most of the people in this reality wouldn't remember that that had happened. You know, like, they weren't there, so they wouldn't know that it was Red Onslaught brain controlling Scarlet Witch into turning reality into a Nazi heaven. They would just suddenly turn into Nazis and then suddenly not turn into Nazis and then not remember when they were Nazis. Like, it would just be, they just flip back and forth and not remember. At least that's how I understand it. So I guess it wouldn't be as bad as I'm making out. It might just be because we see the whole story.
Hmm.
Anyway, what did you guys think of the art?
It was good.
It was good. Like, it was easy on the eyes, but at the same time, I felt like some of the action scenes were confusing. Like, oh, there's this one part where I think Thor throws Cyclops and Havoc and someone else, but we don't actually see him, like, picking them up. There's just a scene where he's, like, punching Havoc, I think, and then in the next frame, they're flying, like, all three of them, and someone compliments him on the throw.
Yeah.
And stuff like that happened a few times, where, like, we don't actually see what happened, but then someone says it happened, and I'm like, what? And I can't find it, like, going back.
No, I remember, I had a similar experience. I turned to a page, and somebody who wasn't around before, like, suddenly was, like, standing on a pile of rubble, like, having burst up out of the ground or through a wall or something. And I was like, where the fuck did this guy come from? And it's not like I got the scene of him bursting through. It's like he had burst through 2 seconds before I got to that panel, and he was already talking and interacting with people. And it's like, I didn't get the transition there. Just, there were, like, some odd cuts like that. But that might also be because they needed to put so much in these. I mean, in 9 issues, you go from the emergence of Red Onslaught to Onslaught getting defeated, everybody getting inverted, everybody being evil, everybody getting diverted, and then the wrap-up. Like, that all happens in 9 issues.
I think the Red Onslaught thing actually started before this.
Yeah, but I mean, the fight in earnest. Well, I guess they were kind of fighting when they walk into it. Yeah, I don't know. That, the other thing for me that was kind of iffy. So Red Onslaught, we're supposed to get, is this big badass with, like, the embodiment of hatred. And he's huge. Like, he's massive. He's, like, 15, 20 stories tall. And he has, like, octopus tentacles coming out of his back. Because, fuck it, why not?
No, that's because Hydra.
Oh!
Really?
Oh, I didn't even get that.
I did not catch that.
That makes perfect fucking sense.
That is my guess.
Sense.
I don't know if that's
100%. No, that makes perfect fucking sense. That really fucking does. Okay. But anyway, he's huge, and he's got these fucking tentacles, except because he's so big and this fight is such an unwieldy, massive scene, you never really see him do much of anything other than just stand there, turn his head, and do telepathy. Like, there's no... He himself is not imposing in the fight. He just convinces other people to do the fighting for him. Like, the scariest moment wasn't him doing anything. The scariest moment was him turning the Scarlet Witch. That was the worst part in the fight. And then when the Sentinels come out, but neither of those things were things that Red Onslaught did himself. So I don't know if that's the art or where that is. It's just like, I'm not really afraid of this thing. This doesn't seem any worse than if he were the size of a normal dude and just had Charles Xavier's powers. Like, it doesn't seem like Red Onslaught is any different from Red Skull with Charles Xavier. Or any more menacing.
Well, the whole Onslaught character is supposed to harken back to another X-Men storyline where somehow Professor Xavier and Magneto get fused and they become Onslaught. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got that. He didn't seem menacing. I don't know if that's the art or what. He looked cool with the tentacles and shit. He looked awesome. Like, the art did a good job of making everything look appropriately badass when it needed to look appropriately badass. Like, Apocalypse looked appropriately badass. Everybody looked the right level of badass. There's just, yeah, like, the weird transitions and, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, you guys want to rate this? Let's rate this. I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this a 2.5. I mean, it was a good read. I feel like there's just a huge barrier to entry because there's a ton of shit that I didn't know from the continuity. And then, like, what happened in here was neat, but I really would have been more interested in the side stuff. This feels like it carries a narrative that I want to read, but this isn't the narrative that I want to read. It carries another story that I would find more interesting than this one. But there's nothing wrong with it, per se. It just, I don't know, it's just not my cup of tea, and I feel like there's so many good comic books out there. I was sitting there reading this on my Nook, and I was like, okay, I really need to get around to reading Avengers Assemble by Kelly Sue DeConnick, because I heard that was good. Let me just get through these 9 issues. It was just, I know there are better comics out there, and I was reading this until I could get to read those better comics. but this is definitely a shit ton better than Spawn, so 2.5 just feels average. Just feels like a normal event comic. Jen?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2. I thought it was a little worse than average, just in that it felt like the characters, with the caveat that I know different writers write characters a little differently every time, it just felt like they were sticking more to the tropes than who they're normally written as. And the inversion was kind of silly in some ways, like the Hulk turning into, like, sad, angry Hulk. And so isn't Tony Stark, like, a New York-based superhero, right? And then he moves to San Francisco. I think that was supposed to be, like,
yeah,
oh,
San Francisco is where people are vain.
Yeah, like,
well, because there's high-tech there also, and, yeah, you know, Tony Stark.
Well, it's also on the other coast, so he's flipping it. You know, it's just, like, I think they, like, went through a list or something and were like, what can we switch around? And it ended up kind of goofy. And, yeah, there were the times when the art just didn't follow for me. So, I mean, it was a neat concept, and I kind of enjoyed reading it, but I would not recommend it to a friend.
Yeah. Like, in a month, I'm going to go read that Carnage Axis crossover. And I'm looking forward to that coming up on MDCU. I really, really am. David?
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a 2.5. I don't really have, like, strong feelings about about this comic one way or another. I'm sure if I was getting I think I got the first issue before I stopped getting all my, you know, getting comics, on a weekly basis. And, you know, I probably would have just bought it because it was the, you know, the thing at the, you know, the crossover at the time. But when I was reading this, I didn't particularly enjoy it that much. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. I think this is pretty common type of thing we see with the majority of crossovers at this point, or big event comics.
Yeah, there's kind of a run-of-the-mill, isn't there?
Yeah. Some are more interesting than others, but this one was not particularly interesting or compelling because it felt like they mashed a bunch of the overarching themes in Marvel together into one thing. You know, we got the whole, like, persecution of the mutants, and then, like, the whole Captain America Nazi fighting thing, and I don't know, it was just this big mash of stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of, you talk about, like, the kind of, like, redone things in Marvel. I'm really done with Avengers and X-Men fighting over whatever. In Civil War it was kind of neat, but then it's just like, it's been nothing but that, it feels like, for half a decade or more now. Just Avengers and X-Men fighting.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second crossover that's got Avengers versus X-Men in the title that we've had in, like, the last 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
And there's essentially the same fight, right? In the first one, they were fighting over Hope Summers because the X-Men thought she was going to turn to Phoenix and help them, but the Avengers didn't want her to turn to Phoenix because Phoenix is bad, and then in this one they're fighting over the Red Skull. So, yeah.
But it's all the same kind of fight. Anyway. Yeah.
It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. So that's, what is it, 2.5, 2.5, and 2? It's like 2.25-ish. 2.33, that's what it is, 2.33, I think. Anyway, yeah, 2.33 stars total. So, let's get on to our new segment.
Trivia.
Now that David is the reigning champion of Fight Night, we're going to do trivia. The way this works, you're going to get a topic, you're going to bet a number of points, and when you guess right, you win that many points, and when you guess wrong, you lose that many points, and you can definitely, definitely go into the negatives. So, because this is a new thing, I'm going to kick it off, and my question is to David, and my topic is comic artists that made history. So this is going to be about comic artists. All right. How many points are you going to bet?
Oh man, this could I could know the answer to this or have no fucking clue. So I'm going to go with 2 points.
2 points. All right. Your question is: which of the following comic greats was considered one of the architects of the Silver Age with his revival of the Flash? It's Danny O'Neill, Nick Carty, Carmine Infantino, or Stan Lee?
It's definitely not Stan Lee. I'm crossing off the list
for sure. Not Silver Age Flash, no.
Danny O'Neill,
Nick Carty, and Carmine Infantino.
I'm going to go with Carmine Infantino.
Oh, you got it right. You got it totally right. That's 2 points. He's famous for nice. For the cover, like
with
the one
two
Iron
Flash of two worlds, right?
Yeah, that one with him kind of running it. Also, the one with Flash putting his hand up saying, "Stop, read this comic."
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
so yeah, Carmine Infantino. Yeah, 2 points for David. Boom, out the gate. All right, David, you got a question for Jen?
All right, so this topic is going to be where'd it go? Comic book firsts, and this is going to talk about comic first appearances in comics.
Oh God. I'm so bad at trivia. I always panic and say like the dumbest thing I can. 1 point. I assume that's the minimum bet.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 point.
Are you ready for your question?
No, but yes.
Okay, so in which of the following issues did Wolverine first appear? Is it The Incredible Hulk number 181, Wolverine number 1, Giant-Sized X-Men number 1, or Alpha Flight number 1?
Oh, ooh. Alpha Flight number 1.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, I hope. Oh, God.
That is actually incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
Oh.
The correct answer is Incredible Hulk number 181.
Really?
Wow, oh, Hulk.
You
were
close. That.
You were close because I'm assuming you went with Alpha Flight because of Canada.
Well, he was like in the first Alpha Flight issue, I thought, or he was an original member.
Yes, he was an original member of Alpha Flight, but he first appears in Incredible Hulk 181 when Hulk is in Canada, being Hulky.
Oh, okay.
And they send him to fight Hulk initially.
Oh yeah, doesn't Wendigo show up in that? I think.
Yes, I believe the Wendigo, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Negative one for Jen.
Woo!
Starting off in the hole. All right, you got a question for me?
Sorry, Jen.
That's okay. I do,
I'm like stretching over here, like that's gonna help.
I hope I have gauged the difficulty correctly. Because we did read Infinite Crisis together,
right? Oh, God,
right?
Yeah, we did.
So this is on that.
So much murder.
Okay. How much do you want to wager?
I'm going to go 3.
Okay.
Got to go the most. Go big or go home.
So, where do Kal-El and Kal-El defeat Superboy Prime? Is it Daxam, Oa, Mogo, or Rao?
Ooh. Oh, I know it's Green Lantern-y, but I don't remember it's Oa or Mogo. I know it's not Daxam. Okay. So they punch him. Oh, no, I know what it is. Because what they do is they lure him to his solar system and punch him through a red sun so that he gets weakened. And then they fight. They punch him through the sun, and then he lands on a planet behind the sun. But they know the planet's there because they move the planet because it's Mogo. Final answer is Mogo. Yeah!
You got it.
In the lead, suckers!
Well done, Andy.
All right.
I'll have to pull ahead of you next week.
That's right.
I'm gonna be like -20 by the time we're done with this.
No, you just wait. You just gotta keep betting more. Balls to the wall, damn it.
I'm gonna bet 5 points each time.
Hell yeah, fuck it. Wait, that way we'll when you do how, get one, that's awesome.
We'll see how low we can get it.
We'll have to put a floor on this. Just for shiggies. Anyway, let's get the totals, even though they're easy for you to add up on your own right now. Let's get them.
David, 2. Jen, -1. Andy, 3.
All right, everybody. Axis vs. Avengers, that was this week. Next week, we're going to do Moon Knight. Moon Knight by Warren Ellis.
Excited about this one.
Collecting 1 to 6. Oh, yeah, you might have listened to this episode expecting Multiversity. Multiversity number 9 wasn't even out yet, so there's definitely not a trade. Like, there's not a trade out yet of Avengers and X-Men Axis, so we just all read the singles. But there wasn't even the last single out yet for Multiversity. So we're pushing that later into the month so that we can actually read the whole damn thing. Yeah, so next week, Moon Knight by Warren Ellis, issues 1 to 6. Can't wait for it. I'm excited, too. It was on a bunch of the best of lists. But then so was this one, so I don't know, we'll see.
Was this really?
It was. It was on a couple of them. But I think it wasn't this trade in particular, more the entire Axis crossover event. I don't know. I'll have to go back and double check that, but this was on more than a couple of them. Anyway.
Say so.
Yeah, I do, damn it. That's it for this week. Till next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. A great one. Speaking of the Trapster, what was his original name in comics? And the answer is Paste Pot Pete.
Yeah, I knew that.
Really?
Yeah.